Today we're going to be talking about God's kind of love, and I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. It says this, "Now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." And then in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1 it says this, "Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy." The Bible here says, follow after love, pursue love, make it your highest aim, some translation says. Make it your greatest quest. It's the most important thing. It's the only thing that we'll take out of this life and that we'll take into eternity. We won't take our cars, we won't take our homes, we won't take our money, but we will take the love of Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ has imparted into our lives by the Holy Spirit. And it's the thing that has eternal value. It's the thing that has eternal substance. But really, what does that mean? You see, I love my wife. I love ice cream. I love apple pie. There's only one word in English to describe love. And yet, when I say I love my wife, and then I tell the cat, I love the cat too, then is my wife very impressed? She is not impressed at all. You see what I'm saying? Because when we use the word love in our English language, there's only one word in English for love, and some people think it means sex. Some people think it means an intense, a warm feeling. Some people have all kinds of definitions for love. In the Greek language, there were four major words. One was eros. It's really not used in the Bible. It's talking about a sexual attraction, sexual love. And the Bible, God ordained that. God created that. He said, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. The whole book of Song of Solomon is talking about a sexual kind of love. But in that kind of love, God has restricted it to a marriage relationship, to that relationship. Now, the other kinds of love, God says, are free to be used to all mankind. But this one kind of love, God has restricted it in a marriage relationship. There's another kind of love. It's called storge. It's a natural bond. It's a natural affection that a person has in a family relationship. Then there's another kind of love. It's called Philadelphia love or philia love. It comes from a root word philia, used about 72 times. This form of the word is used in the New Testament. And it's talking about a warm feeling of affection. It comes and goes with intensity. Most people that talk about love think that's what real love is. And so I fall in love and I fall out of love. Okay? If you build your marriage on that kind of love, there'll be times that you'll have a high, there'll be times you'll have a low. You could fall in love and out of love just as well. But the Bible says this. The Bible says that we're to love one another with His kind of love, and that kind of love is agape love. Now, what is agape love? Well, there's many things. 1 Corinthians 13 gives us a whole definition of all love is kind, and a whole definition of what love involves. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 says, this is love, that we keep His commandments. Jesus' commandments show us expressions of love. But if I was going to just sum it up in a capsule form, I would use Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. And it says this, whatever you would want someone to do to you, do to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You see, it's not a matter of, oh, those people down at the church, they don't love me. They don't care about me and this and that. No, the Bible says whatever you would want someone to do to you, you do to them first. This is love. Okay? Now, it goes against our flesh. It goes against our natural grain to seek the welfare and benefit of other people above ourselves. It takes God. Don't think that I'm saying this can be manifest without God. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And God is love. He's the source of love. And He's the one through His commandments that will show us how to. And He's the one that will give us strength, even in the light of our flesh, to make the right choices and the right decisions and to act upon the right principles. You know, a few years back, I was in a after work. I worked at Andrew Womack Ministries. And after work, I wanted to go and pray like I usually do after work. And I was there in the park and I said, God, I really want to minister to somebody. And it was a fairly warm day, and I saw some little children sitting in swings, and there was a swing open. I thought, I'll go over there, and I'll be a swinger. So I went over there, and I got in a swing. And there's this little girl and little boy, and I turned over to the little girl. I said, it's a nice day, isn't it? And she said, me no speak English. I said, you no speak English? Where are you from? She says, Romania. And I knew there were some Romanians in that park. And I looked, and sure enough, I saw these people looking at me. And they was probably wondering, why are you talking to my children? And I went over there and I said, I want to help you. And they said, you would want to help us? Why would you want to help us? You don't even know us. And I said, because God wants to help you. And I've been meditating on these principles of love. 1 John 3:18 says, let us not love in word and tongue, but in deed and truth. Not with our mouth, but with our actions. And that day, I usually don't carry money around with me, but I had a little bit of money in my pocket. I reached out and I said, this is for you. I gave him the money. And that day I'd been fasting and I had some food, a little bit of food with me. And I said, and here's some food for your family. And they said, who are you? And they were touched. And I says, God has made a divine appointment. We've met today and I'm going to see you again. You know, I went home and I told my wife about that encounter with those Romanians. I took a roast out of our freezer. I cooked that roast. I went out the next day to some garage sales and I bought a whole big old box full of dishes. And I went back to the park and my wife was with me and there was those Romanians with their children. And I said, I bring gifts to you. And I said, they're heavy. And what I'm going to have to do is get in my car and I'll show me where you live and I'll take these gifts over to your home. So that's exactly what I did. And I got those, all of those dishes and the silverware and the platters and the cups and everything that matched. And I took it out of the box and I began to give it to them one at a time. And as I gave it to them one at a time, all of a sudden tears began to roll down their faces. And the lady said, me gonna cry, me gonna cry. They lived in a little one bedroom apartment with them and their children. Me gonna cry. And I said, you know what? On Monday night, we have a Bible study at my home, and I would like to invite you there. I said, we want to come. I said, no, I don't want you to come because I give you gifts. They said, no, we want to come and meet your friends. And so I'd come. They didn't have transportation. I'd come and I'd pick them up. I'd take them over to my home. And you know, before long, God would begin to touch them. They couldn't speak English very well, but God would touch them when we prayed for them. They began to get delivered from things and set free from things because the love of God was manifest to them. Before long, we met another Romanian couple. And I said to this Romanian couple number one, I said, will you go and help me meet Romanian couple number two? And they said, yes. And I got a call one day from these Romanians. They said, Mr. Don, we heard about you. We have the lonelies very bad. We want to meet you. So I took my Romanian friends and went to meet them. And we began before, and we went, and I took gifts over there, food over there, and all kinds of things over there to them. And as I did that and began to visit with them, everything was great until one of the Romanians, couple number one, said, you need to go to the Bible study. They talk about Jesus. It's wonderful. And they said, well, hold a minute. We don't really know. We came from communist country. We really don't know if there's a God. We don't really want this Jesus stuff. And I said, let me be your friend. And I began to take them out on the weekends and buy them clothes and coats and things that they needed. And they were very embarrassed. Oh, no, don't you need a coat? Well, yes, I do, but let's get this coat for you. I began to love them in action. And in our they wouldn't come to our Bible study until one day I told this Romanian couple number two, I said, there's probably some Americans that will help you get a job. Boy, they were there right away. And I said something that was very foolish. I said to the Lord, Lord, you're going to have to give me a genuine gift of tongues tonight because we can't even communicate very well. And as I was there, there were some Americans there and they gave their testimonies there at the Bible study that night. And then when I began to speak, I noticed the Romanian, this one Romanian lady from the second couple that I'm talking about, just, she began to lighten up. And I knew something was happening. And then I just, after the study, I said, let me pray for you. And we began to pray for them. And as we were praying for them, suddenly God touched them and filled a whole room, the whole atmosphere with His love. And then this is what the Romanian couple number two told me. He said, you know, when the Americans were speaking, I couldn't understand anything the Americans were saying. But when you got up and you started speaking about Jesus and His love for us and what He did so that we can have a relationship with Him, she said, I understood every word that you said. I understood it perfectly. It must be God. It must be God, she said. And as a result of that, lives were changed, not only of Romanians, but let me tell you what happened. My home on Monday night began to be filled with international people. We had Romanians, Bulgarians. We had people from Russia. We had people from every nation. God was changing life. They knew that we loved them. From Africa we had people. And we couldn't even speak hardly to one another. But this is one thing they knew. When we prayed for them, God would manifest Himself to them. And they knew this. They knew that I would do anything for them. That I loved them. God changed their lives. God changed many people's lives. And I want to tell you how this happened. It happened because one day in a park, I didn't have any feeling. I saw some people of another color. I saw some people of another nationality. I didn't have any warm feeling of affection. But I knew this, that love was this. That whatever you would want someone to do to you, do to them. And I sought the welfare and benefit of some human beings, regardless of the way I felt. And you know what happened? They so appreciated it that what rose up in them was philia love, the love that had feelings for me. And they began to say to me, I love you, and just hug me and kiss me. And then you know what it did to me? That then generated in me that kind of feeling for them. If you want to have a love that has feelings in your life, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Practice agape love. Seek the welfare and benefit of others, regardless of how you feel. God bless you as you meditate on this teaching today.